have this recording, just one second. Okay, hopefully it's working, you can try it. Can you ask if they can hear us?
Can anyone on the phone hear us? Hello, testing?
Chris and Claire.
Great.
No.
Okay. Today, we'll just jump...
Is Commissioner Ivy on?
Yes.
Okay.
Today, we have a long agenda. We'll just jump right in. We need to build... So our process is everything that is not held for discussion will be
approved. Hello, we just lost sound. We can't hear anything going on in the commission room right now.
Kyle, can you hear us now?
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We will now go through the process of building our agenda. Anything that we do not hold for discussion will be approved on the consent agenda. Because of the continued meeting from last time, we have a very large... Okay. Anything that needs to be held from the consent agenda, Commissioners Lee or Ivy?
I do not.
I didn't have anything from consent.
Okay. Nor do I. We'll move to regular agenda. My understanding is that there's been a request to continue item number 3 to our next meeting.
Correct.
Could we go back to item number 1?
Okay.
Yes, on that one, I'm fine with the continuance. Item number 1, if we could leave that on consent to accept the audit.
Okay. Consent to accept. I'm okay with that. I would like to hold regular agenda item number 22 for some discussion.
And then item number 4 needs action.
Okay. I would move that we put that on consent for approval.
And I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with approval on that.
Okay. You said number 22?
Yes, 22, just hold for some discussion.
Number 23 was requested that was to be stricken.
Okay.
And I have 33 to be held for discussion.
33 for discussion. If we could hold number 29 for some discussion as well.
Okay.
I think there will be people on the line.
Okay. I've been asked to strike 55 and 58.
Yep.
We just need to change the wording and then put them back on again. Okay.
I believe.
Can we hold number 64? I just got a couple questions for you.
Okay, we'll hold number 64. All right, moving to our agenda, that means that our first item for discussion is item 22. The only, the topic I wanted to address here is just, I know this is a frustrating topic for some of us here in the county and in the Sheriff's Department, because I think that basically there's an understanding that there seems to be from the state or from the courts that they would like our County Sheriff's Department to provide security there in the building. There also is an understanding that, you know, we need to be reimbursed or compensated for that service. But in your estimation, is this, does this cover our costs for providing the?
Oh, absolutely not.
The security of the building?
So I'm Lieutenant Packer over that bureau. So no, it doesn't cover the cost, but it does come, it does help us cover the cost of those contracts that we have with them. We're actually required by law under the sheriff's statute to provide that, be the prior of the court and be there to provide security for the court. So this is just the means in which they can reimburse us through that contract. And this is the contract that we received last year as well, the same amount. It hasn't changed. They did notify us. We've been to the legislature last year and got some items changed to where it's been put into the regular budget for the state. And hopefully in the future it will increase. But at this point, they've told us that they would try and get us what they gave us last year. But with the current conditions, you know, that may change. And Sheriff Smith,
may. If I can add, Sheriff Smith, I just want to add that we, and namely Neldon, or Eldon, sorry, we work on this every year up at the state legislature because, you know, your sentiments that you're asking, we agree with. And it's honestly, it's just a fight every year to get what we get. And it is a state statute, but we'll continue to do that.
What is the feedback that they give? I mean, and so in some ways I'm hearing, you know, and they could say, oh, well, actually, you're just required by law, so we don't have to give you anything. But the fact that this is even broken down into an hourly rate and hours, it would suggest that they're open to, okay, what's your cost? But there's just a gap. You know what I mean? It's not, sometimes it's like, no, that's yours or that's ours. Rarely do you kind of see this, okay, it's yours, but we're going to pay you, but not for all of it. What is the feedback you get when you push to have the cost fully covered?
Well, I think the problem we have is that the state law says we will do it, but it says nothing about any reimbursement. So we're really at the legislature's mercy as to what they will pay. And when they're looking at all the other competing interests and people asking for money, we just become part of that pie that gets cut up. And
you know, I've spent some time up there. I think I was up there with you testifying. Was it 2 years ago testifying, yeah. You know, before the committee? And we're all on the same page with this one. It's problematic. And in talking with the legislators on an individual basis with it, what I hear from them is that it's your people. It's your people that are in these jails, and they're not necessarily, and they're from different cities. So it's all over the county. And so the sheriff's department is the one, and they have no appetite. I mean, they just have no appetite from talking on an individual basis to do more. The question always comes into play of what is the level of security? And that's going to be determined by the sheriff, you know, on what that level of security is. It could be modified, but you know, we don't want to modify to a point to where it becomes detrimental and we have something happen. I think a balance in there is probably a correct approach, but going to the state on this one, it's a real uphill battle. I'm appreciative, and I can't remember that gentleman's name from the state that was fighting with us on it.
Chris Palmer.
I mean, he seems to be the one that's really trying to help out and trying to find ways for us with it. But I feel the same pain that it's problematic.
And I agree. You have to weigh it out. I look at my position as a sheriff for the state mandates, and you're exactly right, Commissioner Lee. It doesn't necessarily say how good of service we have to give them, right? But at the same time, I've been elected to provide safety to this community. And, you know, that's a heavy weight to say I'm going to play games with that language and not provide adequate security to keep our citizens safe. So we do it, and we do it the right way, and we hope the state will do the right thing and fund us better.
But they haven't suggested that. I mean, that's really... I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at this, and in some ways, based on what you're saying, if it's statutory requirement, you could just say, hey, we're grateful to the state for what, you know, what they are providing. But that's why I just wanted to bring this up and focus in a little bit more of the detail, because you could read this that way to say, oh, if they're saying that's the appropriate level, maybe they're suggesting we should staff it and secure it at a different level. But you've never received that feedback.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm personally in favor, you know, of this and moving forward. I just wanted that clarification. So I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve and authorize the commission chair to sign the contract as stated number 22 on our published, I think this is the regular agenda.
Second.
So we have a motion and second on 22. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Item number 29, Commissioner Lee.
Alice, can we have Caitlin? They were calling in. And hopefully we gave Alice the number so she knows which one to open up. She's not on there? This is not good because it's got a pretty good time crunch onto it. Can we just hold this one then?
Are we on?
There she is. Okay. Okay, Caitlin, we're on that item now to talk about the 4-H exhibit as part of the county fair that would go along with the junior livestock program that we've already voted on. Maybe a couple of items of clarification as we've kind of worked down through this. As you see in the documents, there is an A, B, and C in the way of opportunities, you know, to support there. I guess C is not really a support. And then there was a question, quite a bit of question, when it came to insurance and how it would be insured for an event. That was talked through with Rob Moore. I don't know if Rob's on the phone or not, but did you get briefed on that?
I also spoke with Ryan Hatch at the trust, confirming that the county had coverage for the fair. There are a few exceptions to coverage, but those types of activities are not being done this year. So the existing policy covers the county, any claims against the county with regard to the fair.
And so
we were
go ahead.
We were able to visit on our end, Commissioner Lee, about those concerns we had yesterday. And as employees, we are covered through our insurance also. So
yes.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Because it kind of hinged on if there was negligence on, you know, on one side or the other. And so if the employees are covered on their side, then that's fine. We're looking at kind of more of a general basis.
Yeah, the only issue remaining, though, is with regard to volunteers.
Yeah.
We would like to get any volunteers that are going to be participating to have them approved so that they have...
So let me bring that up.
Our 4-H volunteers will all be registered, and we got that confirmed that they are covered under our insurance as well.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. We were wondering if we had to go through a process to accept volunteers. But if they're covered under yours, fantastic. So then, Caitlin, if you can kind of walk us down through... option A and B that you have detailed out and where we're at there.
Definitely. So a quick summary of this, and this was sent to all of the commissioners beforehand also. Traditionally, our check-in date is August 10th, so this is option A I will walk through first. Participants all register their exhibits online beforehand, so there's no in-person registration, and then they will sign up for a time with us online before to come and bring their exhibits on site so that they can be judged. Those times will be spaced out and only one family member will be allowed in at a time to help with social distancing and tracking that way. And the first hour of that will be specifically for those who are high risk or who have high risk family members so that we can assist with that. And so that's just the first day is just check in and us getting set up on our end. The second day is our exhibit judging day. We have judges that we trade with Juab County. And those judges are all 4-H judges and are covered through our insurance. Also, all of those judges will be pre-registered. We'll have their contact information to help with tracing. Everybody will be required to wear masks. We will have gloves present also for all of that to limit the handling of that as much as possible, and everybody will be spaced out. So the second day is judging day. There's no general public there. So what our goal was with this is the indoor exhibition, if hosted at the fairgrounds as detailed in Plan A, would be open in conjunction with the Junior Livestock Show that is going on at that time, and that's when it would be open to the public. So any public that is there attending the Junior Livestock Show could also attend the 4-H indoor exhibits. Some of the hours would be slightly different, but the first couple hours of every day would be dedicated specifically for those that are high risk. So set aside so that grandma and grandpa can come and see those indoor exhibits, and we would lessen the amount of people that are allowed in the building at a time. Either one of us as 4-H staff or our volunteers would be manning the door. If, as detailed in this, we would have a QR code that people could scan that would prompt them to fill out just their information for contact tracing, and we would also have a hard copy form there that we would take people's information and limit how many people are in the building at a time. We would also have a flow of traffic pattern within the building so that people could see the exhibit safely while social distancing and those kind of things that way. We do have an option. Traditionally, our exhibit pickup day has been the Monday following the fair. However, if the fairgrounds would prefer us to not be there over the weekend, we could do our exhibit checkout Saturday evening as well. So it would be open to the public Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then for pickup, our 4-H participants would also have to sign up for a time online to come pick up. Same thing, one person in their family. And then we would have all of that information for contact tracing. Are there any questions kind of with that initial Plan A?
Can you go over the, I know there's an adjusted dollar amount. Can you go over that for Plan A?
Yes. So we were able to find some ribbons after everything that were left over from last year's fair. However, there aren't enough to get us through, so we would just reorder so we can kind of stay ahead that way. We actually were able to get our ribbons at a slightly cheaper cost. So last year our ribbons cost us about $950. This year they would only cost us $750. So that is a savings between the adjusted premium money that is detailed in that budget that we sent. It would be an overall savings of $165.
And that total would be for the Plan A? So
that total would be $7,032.
Okay. Plan B. I mean, I prefer Plan A, but I mean, part of it is that this is, so we'll go ahead and go over Plan B.
Okay. So the biggest difference between Plan A and Plan B is the location. Plan B, our office is at the in the same building as the Central Utah Water Conservancy District there in Orem. And so we would hold everything there in that building. And then instead of offering an option to the public, we would have a virtual viewing option that we would do probably through Facebook Live and Instagram stories that way. And so it would be a shortened time period.
And the dollar amount total?
The dollar amount would be the same.
Okay.
The budget that we have traditionally has been around $7,000 right there around that point, depending on the year. And it provides premium money, which is the award money for the youth. There's a different value associated with each ribbon as they are judged, and then pays for the ribbons themselves. And part of the ribbons that we order, part of that money also goes to provide the ribbons for the Junior Livestock Show. That's always just been incorporated and has been done hand in hand that way. And the same thing will be happening this year.
And of course, Plan C is to just do something next year, possibly.
Yes.
So for me in looking at this, I'm in favor of the Plan A. which would require the county through the TRCC money to fund them $7,032, which has been done in the past with the understanding of the insurance issues.
My preference would also be Plan A there, so I'd be very supportive of that one.
Plan A?
Plan A.
I'm in support of that.
Yeah, okay. Plan A.
Okay.
Ready for a motion?
I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the Utah County Fair 4-H indoor exhibit portion, as stated in number 29. With Plan A, which is detailed out in there, with probably the change to the dollar amount of $7,032.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 29 as stated. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
If I can make note to that, Caitlin, that with this passing like that, that should be sufficient information that you need to let Nick know, so that he knows that is happening.
Perfect.
On that week.
Thank you. We will work with the fairgrounds, and we appreciate this so much. And we will send you that updated budget information also.
Thank Great. You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 33, Commissioner Ivey.
Yes, I believe Andrew Jackson had some comments and thoughts on this. The primary focus of this, obviously, we've been working with MAG in getting this CARES Act funding distributed that was allocated to the committee. Part of that was utilizing the resources at MAG to help us do this. They've been phenomenal. I mean, they've got a website up and running and have actually saved us a ton of money in administrative costs in this. By teaming up with them. And so the question was how we were going to pay for those administrative costs, if we would be willing to pay for it from the larger allocation that was left with the county, or if there were other funding sources. And Andrew could potentially speak to that if he's on the line or there.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Andrew Jackson with Mountain Land Association of Governments. Is it okay if I just... So I just wanted to say thank you to the commission for all you do, and thank you for the opportunity to work with you on this. There's two things on the contract. On the third page, item 3 under budget, the very last sentence says writing by both the county, and then the rest of that's deleted out. I think that should be and Mountain Land Association of Governments. So if there's an amendment to this contract, it would be both of us agreeing. And then the other thing is on the payment, which is number 4 for the $151,000. We've been attending those meetings. The committee's wanting as much of that $20 million to go out to businesses. And so they've asked that you draw the $151,000 for the admin out of your other COVID funds. We tried to cut those costs as much as we could down to the 151, but we challenged staff to come up with additional funding. And as I've said before with you, that I won't ask for money if we have another way to fund it. And so in discussions with staff, we're gonna cover that 151 out of reserve accounts that we have. So we are not asking for, on schedule attachment B, that budget listing of the things that we will do for admin, such as the Zoom grants program, et cetera, that adds up to the $151,000. We'll cover that internally through our reserve account. So we're not asking for any COVID funding for that. We looked at it and said, you know, this is 7 or 8 businesses that we could help. We think it's better to go out for that. So we still want to have the contract so it identifies the scope of work and all the things associated with the contract, with that change on item 3 to add us in as with amending that. But we're requesting that the budget be down to 0 for what's on that schedule.
So as I was reading down through this, and so you're not asking for the $151,000 then coming from the county?
No, we're going to ask that to be zero.
You're going to ask that to be zero, but you're wanting to change some of the language that we have in this agreement?
Only item three on page three, budget. The last sentence in that paragraph says, any amendments to the budget must be approved in writing by both the county.
By both the county, yeah, okay.
And so I'm saying add and Mountain Land Association of Governments. So it's both the county and
that,
MAG.
That makes sense to me, Dave. You have any hiccups with that?
Changes to the contract. And then the other is to change that 151 to zero.
Okay.
But we wouldn't have the, so somebody doesn't say, oh, well, MAG's going to cover the $20 million too. We're not going to, we're covering the $151,000 for admin.
Why not the $20
million? If I can, I would. So just in keeping with that, that if I could find another way to fund something, I will. And just so you know, if I come and ask you for money, I really need the money, and I've tried a bunch of different ways, we can fund the $151,000 out of reserve. And just for your information, we're also doing some CDBG COVID funding up in Wasatch County. They authorized us, it's a much smaller number, you know, like a couple thousand dollars for admin, but we're not going to take that either. We'll do that out of reserve as well.
I appreciate that. I think that it's, while I was willing to have a conversation about this and move forward, because this is a collaborative thing and everyone's doing their best, and I know that mayors are serving on there. This was a little bit of a surprise in that when this initial economic recovery funds was set aside, it was set aside with the understanding, at least in our meeting between the county and the mayors, that the county would administer that program.
Sure.
And then in the documentation, the expectation would be the county would be reimbursed from the economic recovery fund
right.
for any administrative costs related mm-hmm. to that. And so it turned out that they chose to use Mountain Land Association of Government to administer the program. And even though that was a change in expectations, my sense is that people are grateful that, you know, you have the resources, you have the tools, and some technical abilities that would have taken the county some time to ramp up on. And so that's why, you know, I was surprised when it came back, but just in the spirit of getting this done and making sure that we mm-hmm. get these loans out, and I was happy to do that. But if you found the funding source, then yeah. I think that's
so
a
win. So we still want the contract to be in place, but the dollar amount will be zero instead of the $151,000.
So then walk me through the need for the contract.
Yeah. So one of the things would be, so the money comes to the county.
Yeah.
And then we process through the Zooms grants, we issue that. So if there's some severability that's needed in it, if there's this, how do you pronounce that, force majeure, if my French is correct, any of those kind of things that, you know, we're under the agreements of the state, we're not gonna be issuing checks that aren't eligible for the funding, et cetera. So we still want to have a contract that says, hey, we've got this agreement in place that we'll administer the Zoom grants portion, we'll go through, do the scoring, et cetera, and that there's a county and MAG part to this. So we agree that we're going to work together. The only thing is we don't, we've got a different funding source. So
okay. So is it a risk factor then? Is risk coming? I mean, this was kind of a discussion we had, you know, with that money going that direction, when the county was going to be the one that was administering it, the county felt, and I feel from a lot of our discussions, that we felt comfortable because the county would be involved in saying, no, I don't know if that qualifies or not. And so, because it ultimately comes back to us, does this contract then shift any risk back to us when things were being done?
No, it wouldn't be anything different. The only thing that's changing is the dollar amount that we're covering that with. Our reserve yeah. funds versus the county paying for it. But that's what I'm saying. The contract stays in place.
Nothing that we're changing from what was on the agenda. Now, maybe you had that question regardless.
Yeah, I just, I, it was, It was hard when I always anticipate, like Commissioner Ainge said, I always anticipated that the county would be the one on you know, administering through it, which gave us the ability to kind of have a check in there. Mm-hmm. Now I know Rob is on that committee as well, or at least he's advising on that committee, which gives me comfort that that's going on. But the overall question is what happens if there is an audit and this comes back and it says it was used inappropriate or it was used the wrong way. Who bears that liability? Because there's cities on there and there's a county representative on it, Commissioner Ivey's on there. And so what happens?
I don't see Peter. Peter's your COVID person, right?
Rob's Brown. On the line.
Oh, okay. Rob.
So you can respond.
Rob, I was going to say, Rob can probably address that. And Commissioner Lisa, you're aware too. Amelia or Josh or people from their office have been there.
And we've discussed this item.
Be there for that audit, you know, double check from the county to make sure that we're going in an appropriate direction with the funding.
Yeah. And so there's in your bylaws, I would assume then, because I haven't been to those meetings, obviously, and I would assume in those meetings that if somebody from our audit team says, not a good idea, does that mean don't go that direction?
I don't think that's in the agreement establishing that committee. So it's like when you've got that money, well, maybe, I don't know, if Rob's on the line, he could explain it and... If he's not, I can...
Go ahead, Rob. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. This is Rob Moore. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so ultimately the county's liable, like you said, Commissioner. I think we've all known that. So, but we also control the purse strings here, too, and the county would not be willing to give out any of the money if it was going to be allocated for something that would be non- COVID appropriate. And so if it's not an appropriate expenditure under COVID, then we would not be willing to expend that money. So far, there hasn't been anything that I would think that that would be that. We have some safeguards in place. As you mentioned, we have a number of representatives from the county who are there trying to help with the committee to make sure that we are doing it appropriately under the COVID Act, the CARES Act, excuse me. And so I think that those kind of things are being addressed. Obviously, we still could get audited. We still could have all those concerns out there, but we are trying to take appropriate safeguards as we're walking through. And we've had some discussions. Peter has been there. Amelia's office has been there. Besides that, I've been there. And we've had a number of discussions. And to be honest with you, these mayors are pretty good. I mean, they have some understanding of COVID and the CARES Act. And because their staff's been informing them what they can spend the money on that they received as well. And so I think that there's been some education. And I think that they're doing a good job. And Mag's doing a great job, too. I mean,
Rob, the only question I'd have then on the county's perspective, then, I mean, and I believe that This group is going down a path that's trying to get everything lined up the right way. Don't take it wrong that way. My question is that who is that individual that says that's not appropriate funding? Who is that?
Well, ultimately, we haven't gotten to a point where that's the case. If we had that issue arise, we would, first of all, try to address it at the committee meetings. If there was a request or a motion made to do something that would be not appropriate under the CARES Act, it would be raised at that time. If they disagreed with the advice of staff, then it would kind of push it to the next level, which, you know, because they have to get the funding from us, from the county. They don't have the money sitting in an account for them at this point. And so it would ultimately be the county that would make that call if we feel like that this is not appropriate under the CARES Act. At least that's my take on it.
There's no money that transfers to MAG.
Right.
So it's like the CDBG program. It stays in your account. you issue the check, or we may issue the check and get reimbursed back from you on it, depending upon what works best for Amelia's group. But we don't get, we don't get the $20 million in an account and we just issue checks. It's got to go through that process. Yeah. And those requests are ranked according to that requirements. And the CARES Act funding, some of the requirements in it are fluid. So as they pass new economic recovery bills, they are changing some of those requirements. And so we stay up on that through our national organizations, as well as the cities and the county leagues, et cetera, and have our staff specifically going to those trainings, as well as Peter from your office, who specializes in that as well, to ensure that we're meeting that. Now, obviously, there was a question before in one of the meetings about, well, if somebody commits fraud on their application and they say they're going to use the money for payroll and instead they go buy a Ferrari, is the county liable for that? And no, if somebody commits fraud on their application, they're signing that the things that they've got in their application are true and correct. You know, that's fraud that individual commits. That's not something that we can, you know, go back and trace everybody for fraud. But if that's found that they're fraudulent, that's an issue with that person, not with the county.
Right.
And Commissioner Lee, maybe to address some of your concerns, I could just kind of walk you through some of the process that's going to happen there. So they'll submit their application. That's going to be ranked by MAG staff. So you have people who are very skilled and handle a lot of grant application processes who are going to go through initial review and kick out anything that you know, is questionable as to whether or not it's going to meet, you know, the standards of the current legislation. Then the committee is going to rank them. So there, again, you have another layer of checking this to make sure we're in compliance. And following the committee ranking, it would be sent to Amelia's office for fund disbursement. And obviously, at that point in time, Amelia's office would have, you know, again, an opportunity to review and say, yeah, this is accurate. So by the time the county cuts a check, or as Andrew mentioned, there's perhaps a reimbursement to MAG, it will have gone through at least three layers of eyes checking to make sure that this is an appropriate expenditure.
Yeah, I think that's helpful, because all I was trying to get down to is who or what office is going to, and it sounds like, Commissioner, from what you're saying, that Amelia's office then is the one that's reviewing these things and will say, yes, go ahead and cut the check. And if they say no, then another conversation is going to happen.
Absolutely. So the buck stops, so to speak, at Amelia's office, because they have the money.
Yeah. Is that where Peter is? Peter,
that's where Peter's at. Yeah. And that's kind of where Peter's, I was at, asking, because I heard county and, yeah, you know, I didn't know.
Yeah. If it comes through those first two layers and gets to Peter, he can still say, you know, I'm concerned about this, and kick it back without paying. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this is Josh from the auditor's office. Let me also add to that. That is all correct. Commissioner Ivey's correct. In fact, one of the members of our COVID finance team will be actually participating with MAG in the review and scoring of the applications. And also, just to sort of step back from a broader level, the entirety of the program to grant funds to small businesses is fully within the scope of and the nature of the grant program that the committee has signed. And so it's basically not possible to make an inappropriate expense. You know, there could be some question as to a grant applicant, whether they qualify or not, but the general nature of the expenditure, economic support payments to small business, is fully compliant. And just to reiterate, yes, the auditor's office will be involved in that process in cooperation with MAG.
Great.
Okay, I would entertain a motion on item 33.
If I could clarify, I would suggest some modifications then, according to what I've heard today, to see if this works right. First, with regard to the document that was uploaded, the first page would be deleted. It just has 1, 2, 3, and 4, but it doesn't really contain any substance. Page 2 is where the agreement starts, with item number 1 being scope of service. So my understanding is we would delete all references to attachment B, which is the budget, since it's a $0 amount.
I think we still want to, I think that still identifies the scope of work that we'll be doing.
That's attachment A.
Okay, okay.
Although attachment A wasn't loaded to the system, but it references it, but it's not here.
So if B was just the dollar amount, then yeah, we can.
B was the budget, yeah.
Yeah, so we want to have the schedule of work to be completed still there.
Yeah, that's A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we want to have A, but we can just delete B, and we can delete that reference to the dollar amount.
And then we would delete item paragraph number 3, which is the budget. It references the budget, since there is no budget now.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be deleted. Paragraph number, Roman numeral 4, payment. We would keep the first sentence, but the dollar amount would be changed to 0. The second sentence would be deleted, since that references attachment B. Section 6, payment procedures, would be deleted, since there would be no payments being made to Mountain Lands. And that plus the addition of a subrecipient agreement, which would then be added just to the document, the language for a federal grant subrecipient.
Yeah, sure. And then, so again, we're talking about that scope of work in A. Let's just say, for instance, the federal government says, here's another $40 million to move forward to small businesses, then we'd like the opportunity to come back and talk to you. If it's something we can already do, we've got everything up and running, and it's just processing a few more applications, you know, we should just be able to do that. But if it's something where it's like, oh, we've got to go do this whole stuff all over again, then we'd like to be able to have a discussion if it goes beyond that scope.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
Should we, I mean, look, there's enough going on here. I don't know the time sensitivity. Should we just strike this and have it on next time for ratification?
That would be preferable.
That's fine. There's no dollar needed right now, so that's fine.
But I think in this meeting, I agree with the conversation going on and what you're. So who's going to write it up? Are you going to write it up, Dave, or
probably Rob?
Yeah, or Rob.
Rob has been handling this.
We'll get it written up.
I appreciate you working with us.
Yeah, as long
as
we've got the intent that, hey, we're going to move forward with this, we can still keep this going and doing our stuff. There's not a dollar amount. We just want to make sure that the scope is where we want to be and all the legally stuff is all there, that it's okay that we have this agreement to work things out.
So and I think we were pretty much there, too, other than a very complicated motion.
So, sounds good.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
I'd move that we continue regular agenda item number 33 until the next regular meeting.
A second.
Just a question on that. If we're continuing it, do we need to continue it as a ratification?
No, it would be continued. I don't think there's a time urgency, so two weeks would still work. So we would not need ratified.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to continue item 33. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Okay, Commissioner Lee, item number 64.
So on item number 64, I applaud you for taking on more work. the question comes into play, and I'm sure you probably received emails like I have on it too. The orders that you have is a 6-week order. Is that it? Is there any more time after that?
There is an additional training period at some point that will take place in Charlottesville, Virginia. I do not have that pinned down. That will not happen in 2020.
Okay. So it won't happen in 2020?
No.
The thought was, is some were saying they could happen consecutive.
No. Yeah. In my case, I will not be attending consecutively.
So okay. I'll be back for the duration of
time. I know there was exemptions to it or exceptions to it in some cases. I didn't know if that was the case or not.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we accept the notice as stated in number 64.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept item number 64. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
Mr. Chair, if I could, just on a personal privilege basis, the letter that we have been talking about, I would like to submit it for the record to be added into our minutes.
Sounds great to me.
Okay. You have.
Sounds great.
Okay.
You might want to just reference what that letter is because the prior communications, they were not part of the minutes.
Okay. So that letter, just it says right on the top, it says in support. Go ahead and read the subject line on it, if you would, Alice. Here, give it to me and I'll read it then. That letter, the subject line of that says regarding support for Utah County Schools Districts and a request for a compassionate exemption from statewide K through 12 mandate.
Okay. Closed meetings. I know we need to, there's a closed meeting as it relates to the sale of property, but that's a scheduled meeting. Dave, how do we move into that, or how do we handle a scheduled closed meeting for a different date again?
So you're trying to set a different date regarding the sale of property?
Yeah, it's scheduled for tomorrow, 10.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just on that item for, sale of property, which is item 70 on the agenda, it would just be, when you set the date, time, and location, just set it for tomorrow's date. I don't know what the location is and at what time, but do that.
Okay. Do people have enough information on this? I think we may have lost. I know Ezra was trying to coordinate. Does anyone here know the venue of that meeting?
That's a good question. I know it's 9:00.
Yeah, Commissioner Haynes, this is Richard. My understanding from correspondence with Ezra earlier is it was going to be at 9:00, and I believe going to be an electronic meeting to call in. I don't know if you need to have an anchor location on something like that or not. That'd be a question for David.
Okay.
So the location would just be a call in.
Okay.
And that's item number
70.
70.
That would need to be recorded, so we'll have to make arrangements to have that.
Yeah, just do it here. The chambers is the anchor, and then electronic participation available.
Okay, I would entertain motions on the closed meetings.
So I'll make a motion that we strike number 66 and 68.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike 66 and 68. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we approve and set a date, time, location for closed meetings for item number 67 and 69 at today's date at this location following today's regular meetings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. As stated, all in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we approve and set a date, time, and location. The date, what is the date today? Today's the
29th.
So tomorrow's the 30th?
Yes.
So the date will be the 30th at 9:00. It will be recorded out of this room, correct, Alice? And there will be a call-in number provided for that closed meeting on, which is the sale of real property, water rights, or water
second.
Shares.
We have a motion and a second for item number 70 as stated. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. We have no work session items. Is there any public comment?
lines do you have open?
Four
lines.
Okay, I just want to ask again, I know there was some noise there as we transitioned. Is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we will go ahead and move into our closed meetings. Oh, that's right. It's closed.
Habits.
Are we up? Okay. I entertain a final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 Adjourned.